This is Colorado Matters from Colorado Public Radio. I'm Elaine Grant, sitting in for Ryan Warner. U.S. Senator Mark Udall wants to declare a new national monument in Colorado. The Democratic senator plans to introduce legislation later this summer that would protect Browns Canyon. The proposal includes 22,000 acres along the Arkansas River, that's between Salida and Buena Vista. As Leslie McClurg reports, the idea is stirring controversy.
Between high granite walls, the Arkansas River threads through Browns Canyon. Senator Udall calls it one of Colorado's gems.
It's a very beautiful area where you have this interplay between aspen, pine trees, granitic outcrops, lots of wildlife. It's a special place.
He says the area's beauty deserves national recognition.
This would put a star on the map. A national monument's a big deal. A national monument makes a statement that the American people think a certain landscape is worthy of protection.
Technically, though, making Browns Canyon a national monument doesn't do much more than add a star to tourist maps. Management of the land would stay the same. Currently, it's managed by the BLM, the U.S. Forest Service, and Colorado Parks and Wildlife. None of that would change. Current uses of the land would also remain the same. There wouldn't be any alterations to grazing, recreation, or water use. Udall says his proposal is all about making sure that development doesn't happen in the future. River guides like Bill Dvorak are thrilled about Udall's plan. Dvorak runs the adventure company Dvorak Expeditions. He calls Browns Canyon his sanctuary.
When I'm on the river, I do a lot of multi-day river trips. And to me, the most special part of the day is the pre-dawn chorus when the birds chirp. I just lay in my sleeping bag because I very rarely sleep in a tent. And just look at the canyon walls and the sky and the trees, and I just take 10 minutes for myself. And it's kind of, I guess, my little zen moment every morning.
The river draws more than 100,000 paddlers every year. That makes it one of the most popular whitewater runs in the nation. Senator Udall says the river is a magnet for adrenaline junkies like him.
Some days I've come out at the bottom in one piece. Some days I've come out a little bit humbled because you have rapids like Widowmaker and Slidell's, the Suckhole and the Staircase, and they test you. And sometimes they've tested me to the point where I'm looking at the bottom of the river.
River guides hope that by naming the area a national monument, it will increase business by drawing more tourists to the area. But not all locals agree that a new federal designation equals more money. Off-roaders doubt that a new national monument will do much for the area's economy if you can't drive into the canyon.
Motorized recreation is a big economic generator around here, and it just doesn't make any sense to me to declare something a national treasure and say it's a treasure, but you can't come because we want to preserve it for people who strap on a backpack and hike miles and miles.
That's Carl Bauer. He represents the High Rocky Riders, a group of about 300 off-roaders in the Arkansas Valley. The group would like to see Senator Udall increase vehicle access into Browns Canyon. The current draft of Udall's proposal would not add any more roads to the area.
They're planning right now to only leave one road open, and that's about a six-mile road that dead ends at nowhere.
Bill Dvorak says that's a good thing for wildlife and land preservation. He says off-roaders already have enough turf in the region.
If you look around this valley, I think there's something like 2,000 miles of mechanized access routes. So they have a lot of access, and I actually, to be real honest, think they're being very greedy.
But it's not just ATVers and snowmobilers who are concerned about Udall's plan. Rancher Bruce Cogan is also worried. His ranch borders Browns Canyon.
Motor vehicles are definitely necessary for everyday use on a ranch, putting out salt, repairing fence, checking livestock.
Again, technically, Udall's bill wouldn't change motorized access to the area. Cogan worries that added federal regulations today could be a slippery slope to more restrictions in the future. Cogan also questions the logic of how Udall is touting his plan.
Are we going to make a tourist attraction of it, or are we going to preserve it? We're not going to do both. You know, if we bring in 10 times as many people, we're probably going to have 10 times as much impact.
This isn't the first time locals have clashed over Browns Canyon. A tangled web of failed legislative attempts to protect the area dates back to the 1970s. Bill Dvorak has been in the fight for decades. He says early proposals would have designated 120,000 acres as national wilderness.
And that's been whittled down and whittled down and whittled down over the years, and we're finally down to this little postage stamp of 22,000 acres.
Both Dvorak and Udall hope that this is the last fight over Browns Canyon. Udall says he can rally enough votes in Congress to pass his bill. Now to look at the numbers. We wanted to know whether protecting public land actually makes a difference in local economies, so we asked Ben Alexander to join us. His nonprofit, Headwaters Economics, has studied all of the Western national monuments created in the last 30 years.
And found that in every case, the economies associated with those new national monuments continued or improved after designation. Also, we found that per capita income increased in every case in gateway communities.
How soon could a community see an uptick? I mean, do you see, so a national monument shows up and immediately the economies start to go up?
Well, it could, but more likely it takes a little bit of time to develop the benefits. One of the principal benefits of a new national monument is the designation has a branding and visibility to a broader public. It'll take a year to come out on the new Rand McNally map, for example, a little bit of time to come out on Google Maps. And then people will start to add that location to their itineraries and become more aware of the special resources and opportunities that are there.
Can you give us an example of one of these communities that saw an uptick? What happened there?
Sure. In southern Utah, for example, with the creation of the Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument in 1996, the communities to the north, Escalante, and to the south, Kanab, both saw relatively immediate economic benefits. Initially, it was travel and tourism related, as you can expect. It was guiding services and restaurants, hotels. And I think over the longer term, we've actually seen people move to these areas because they're associated with a signature protected area and move their businesses to these areas as well.
What kind of dollars are we talking about? What kind of economic lift could the locals around Browns Canyon see if they suddenly got a new national monument?
Well, let's be clear. Browns Canyon is already a golden egg for Chaffee County and the communities of Salida and Buena Vista. It's already recognized in the state of Colorado and more broadly as a special place. A lot of people come to raft the river and they hike in the surrounding landscapes. The monument would put that special asset on the map in a new way, creating visibility, signaling quality, and offering potentially an enhanced visitor experience. In terms of numbers, what I can tell you is that over the long term, Western non-metro counties like Chaffee County, with significant federal protected lands, have created jobs four times faster than non-metro counties without federal lands across the West. Four times faster rate of job growth.
Are we talking job growth in just the tourist industries? Or are we talking job growth a wider net than that?
Great question, Leslie, because I think a lot of people assume that the principal benefits are simply tourism or recreation related. And there clearly are significant tourism and recreation benefits. But the benefits extend more broadly as people are making decisions about where to locate their families and their businesses based on quality of life. And as our broader economy and the economy of Colorado specifically is primarily a services economy, many services industries, everything from finance and insurance and software development and information services have very few location constraints on where they locate. And they are increasingly locating their companies and employees in places where people want to live. And people are voting with their feet on this, and they're saying they want to live in places like Colorado that have good schools, low crime rates, relatively affordable, access to larger markets from airports, and quality landscapes that they can readily access.
Are you talking, though, that people are going to set up a tech business in Buena Vista, or are you saying people are going to move to Denver because there's beautiful places that are nearby?
I'm saying both. In fact, you already see it in Salida, a little bit less in Buena Vista. It's a smaller, slightly more remote community. In the case of Salida, an hour and a half from Pueblo, maybe an hour and 45 minutes from Colorado Springs, there's already a significant amount of commuting going on between the Front Range and this relatively small community. You also have a growing number of people who are of retirement age or near retirement age who are relocating. So you have people who are already bringing their companies there, attracting people who are both working and retirees who have significant nest eggs that they then spend in the local community creating business activity in small towns. And so we're already seeing that kind of benefit today.
Does federal land protection, like a national monument or a national park, cost taxpayers more because you have to put in more infrastructure, more roads, more ranger stations?
Leslie, that depends. For example, wilderness costs less to manage than multiple use Forest Service lands today across the West. National monuments and national parks cost more. But in either case, we'd be talking about a relatively modest amount of money. Now, we are talking about a time of constrained budgets today, so every little bit counts. But I would suggest it's also useful to think about a return on investment here. If the American taxpayer makes a modest investment in a new designation and some of the infrastructure to support protection and access and interpretation, there's a pretty good return to the local communities and the states that have those national monuments or other protected areas.
Thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure, Leslie. Thanks for having me.
Ben Alexander is the Associate Director of Headwaters Economics. He talked to CPR's Leslie McClurg. You can find links to the studies on public land management at our website. We have also posted Senator Udall's proposal about Browns Canyon. Just go to cpr.org.